What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the This Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how we kind of go about planning a Disney vacation, because over the years, we've gone on many. I'm currently in the process right now of putting together a new Disney trip. And you know, early this year, I went to one. You tend to do at least one a year, and I've been doing them probably since the mid-80s with my parents, but always been heavily involved in it. And then obviously, James, you do this a lot as well. But before you do that, remember to hit that subscribe button on YouTube or also on podcast services to keep up with our daily episodes. So first off, James, what do you sort of think of first off when you think of your next Disney trip?
So there are two factors for me in this. First is, what is the purpose of my going? If it's just for fun, I have one thing. And if I'm going for one of the Run Disney events, then it's another. I'll go with the Run Disney first because that's a little bit easier. Obviously, if it's a Run Disney event, I don't have much leeway in when I'm going. Yeah. So the only real decision there is, do I want to tack a couple of extra days on, maybe at the front or after? And the answer more recently has kind of been no, mostly because I have done almost all the stuff at the parks, minus the very, very new rides. Like, I have not done Slinky Dog and the stuff in the Toy Story area, but with fast passes, with a 2-month notice, there's a decent chance I might be able to get one of those. Currently, I'm on track to get the Slinky Dog ride about 4 hours before I leave Florida by plane in December. But yeah, for the Run Disney, it's mostly just I don't have much choice. I'm doing it when the Run Disney does it, so it becomes a matter of get the plane ticket as early as possible before the prices rise up, get a hotel booked. And that's really it. So that's the easy one.
Yeah.
And I know you're in the process, but since that one's easy, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to be selfish here at the moment. So I'm going in December, and this is a for fun trip. So I can go whenever I want. I am going with a friend, but we're both very, very flexible in terms of when we can do it. So normally I'll decide kind of like an area of time that I want to go in, and then I'll just kind of go weekend by weekend. What are, you know, the best flight options? What are the best hotel options? How can I do this for, you know, not so much money? And that's for two reasons. One, obviously I want to save money, but two, the weekends where it's cheaper are normally cheaper for a reason, which is they want to incentivize people to go because not many people are going. So they tend to be, less busy weekends. And then lastly, I'm also checking, is it a Halloween party weekend if it's early enough in the season for that? Is there a Christmas party I can go to if it's in that? And I try to do that once a year. So I will be there at the very beginning of December. And that was the one that it worked out best. But that's my basic process. What are the cheapest weekends to go? Because those are going to be probably the easiest to do stuff in the park. And then, you know, what works with my schedule and my friend's schedule.
Yeah, because, I mean, earlier this year, we went to Disney World for 2 weeks. And we were going with our friends. First time we've done that. Normally, it's just me and my wife. So it was a little bit different having our friends. And we kind of had to go with their schedule a bit more. They'd already booked a villa and they had a spare room. And so we were kind of tacking on to their holiday. So the dates had already been kind of pre-picked because of the kids. For their kids, we had to go for a certain time, so it changed how we did things. And it was, to be honest, it was the wrong time of year for me for work, but we booked it a year in advance, so I made sure that we did it all. But it was very different kind of thing. Of we were much more restrictive in some ways. It was a bit of a learning curve of like seeing what it's like booking it from like we, you know, kids and kind of other people involved. It is a lot easier when it is just a smaller group of you. So that was a little bit tricky. I mean, like getting tickets and stuff and staying off site the previous visits. Again, first thing off is, right, when do we want to go on holiday? You know, maybe narrow it down to like a couple of weeks, as particular months. You know, when's it going to be quiet, etc. Then from that point there, you need the budget. We need to kind of see how much it's going to cost, see if your budget's coming in. And then from there, it's about working out where we want to stay, looking at different options. It's all about kind of just bringing in the different ideas. And I think usually time and money are the two key elements of looking at, you know, next year, I want to go to Disney, but First off, it's picking where, what country, where, you know, for me, it's more about like, which part do I want to go to? We're going to be doing something different, totally different. I'm currently planning, we're going to go do the China parks instead. We're going to go completely opposite. I want to do something completely different. I don't want to go back. You know, we've been to Florida, could go to LA, but it'd be nice to, we want to go and have a different holiday. And so the idea is to go and do Hong Kong, and we can also go and do Shanghai because of the way that the visas work out for that. So I want to go do something different. I have been to those countries before, those places before, but the parks weren't built at the time, so I'd like to go back there and do it. We're also going to do some sightseeing and stuff. But even that, while I was putting together the plan, my initial plan of going at the beginning of the year, when I put together the plan of what we were going to do, it was going to be too tight for money. It was just like, I can't afford to go then. So I'm going to go at the end of next year so I can give myself another 6 months of saving. And that is, you know, that was the kind of thing of, I came up with an idea. When can we go? How much is it going to cost? I couldn't quite afford it for that period. So we had to either, we are going to have to change the plan, or we were going to have to move it. So delaying it 6 months was about being able to do it properly. Because if we felt like if we were going to do this, we need to be able to afford it and enjoy it. Because there's nothing worse than trying to go and do Disney when you've skimped and saved on everything and you've got no spending money and you've got no freedom to do stuff. The whole holiday changes once you start going to Disney on a budget and trying to stay to it. It can become so frustrating when there's nothing better when you're at Disney and you're like, I've accounted for $200 a day spending money and we can eat where we want and we can do what we want and you don't have to worry about it. It makes the holiday so much more fun than when I've gone and I'm like, oh, we've only got this much money to spend. We can't eat there. We can't have that extra ice cream. We can't buy that souvenir. I've done it in the past. You know, it's not like it's that thing of, I'd rather wait another 6 months and do it properly then rush and do it and try to do it and then not enjoy it because of costs.
Oh, absolutely. Around the office and with my friends and stuff, they all know that I'm kind of the Disney guy. Yeah. And I know what to do at the park. So whenever they're going to either Disneyland or Disney World, I normally will get a message from them or from friends of friends. People like, hey, I hear you know this stuff. And I'm like, all right, so what is it you want to do? And I think one of the most common things that I end up talking to people about, other than, you know, what rides to ride on, is, well, what have you budgeted? I don't ask for specifics because that's not my business, but like just kind of a general idea. And I had friends, it was a married couple with four kids, and they're like, oh yeah, we budgeted about $100 a day for food. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. You guys are going to be living on peanuts. And I don't think if you haven't been to the parks, you don't understand how expensive they are. Yeah, there's the sticker shock of that first, of the getting the ticket to go in the park, the plane, the hotel. And you're like, okay, yeah, all the major stuff's covered. It is not. It is absolutely not.
I know someone that went, a couple of people that went, and they ran out of money. I can believe it. They were literally living off McDonald's because they were down to the last bit, and they couldn't do a thing. They had planned on like going to the park, you know, they did a day or two and they couldn't afford the tickets because they hadn't budgeted for the tickets properly and they hadn't bargained on car parking, food. And I, you know, even when I was out there earlier this year, you know, and we had some, you know, teenagers kind of 20 something that were there and they were really struggling with the concept of how much Disney and the being at the thing, you know, looking at like a cheap burger and fries and a drink and going, I am not paying that for that food because it's not in their eyes. They were like, I can't justify $15 on what would normally be maybe a $5 meal out on the street kind of thing. And it's like, and you're like, you get to a certain point. I remember I turned on them and was like, if you don't buy that, you're not eating today. You've got no food on you. That is the cheapest option you can eat today. You know, you need to, if you're coming in tomorrow, you need to bring a packed lunch. If you can't do that, but today if you don't do that, you're not going to eat anywhere cheaper than that. And they were like, yeah, they started going, you know, we go to the supermarket and buy food afterwards. But it was that kind of thing of, it costs a lot and you need to make sure your budget is right. And so when I'm planning, like I said, you know, I've, you know, like I said, I delayed a holiday 6 months because I want to be able to enjoy it when I'm there and enjoy it properly. Yeah, I worked out the budget and it was like, well, I've got enough for the flight. I've got enough for the parking. I've got enough for the theme parks, and I've got enough for the day trips. But I'll have no money for food. And it's like, no, we can't do it. We've got enough to cover the holiday, but we've not got enough to cover the expenses while we're there. And that would have just ruined it. If I rushed it, I feel like I could have done that. And I've gone to Paris in the past, prepaid for it. You can prepay for as much of it before you go. It does help a lot with this. But like I say, budgeting is such a, you know, you need, if you, I mean, especially for like us internationals coming to like America, whatever if you go too cheap on your hotels and all the rest of it, and you can, there's a lot of ways of saving money, but those people tend to have maybe made the mistakes and learned from them. If you're going for your first time, you really can't see until you've done it of how much it costs. And, you know, I've seen holidays, you know, a 2-week holiday to Orlando, literally be nearly like £400 to £500, and we're like, it's so cheap. And then we literally turn to each other and goes, yeah, we can get to Orlando really cheap and stay there, but we know that's not where the money goes. When we're there, we're gonna plow through the money, because every time we turn around, they want money.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're a veteran, if you've gone to Disney plenty of times, then you do know the tricks for saving money, you know. Get a hotel that's got a refrigerator in it. You're not going to get one on park property, not without spending a lot of money. Like if you're going to the All-Stars at the Art of Animation, you're not going to have a microwave. You're not going to have a kitchen. You're not going to have a fridge. So don't buy anything frozen or that requires reheating or anything like that. There are off-property sites, Marriott's and whatnot, that have those facilities, but you're going to lose some of the advantages of being on property. It's kind of a balancing act. But if it's your first time going, even with someone like us telling you about it, most people don't really believe it until they get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can prepare. You can go to Publix, the grocery store, assuming you have a car.
Even that, actually. There's a pub. There was a Publix near where we stayed in our villa. And it was twice the price of the Walmart 10 miles down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Even Publix was really expensive compared to like Walmart and stuff, you know, because it was the closest one in the Champions Gate area. And it was expensive because they knew that it's full of tourists and people on holiday. They jacked the price up.
Yeah. So normally if I'm going to go that route and if I've got a rental car, I'll normally stop at a Publix about 20 miles before you even get to any of the parks at all. That seems to work out, but you really have to plan. I'm going to be there 5 days. How much food do I need to get? Even now, most of the time I miscalculate. And even then you're just kind of like, yeah, I'll bring the food into the park, but there's no way I'm going to be able to bring enough into the park to keep me sated for the entire day, especially if I'm bringing a family with me. So almost inevitably, unless you are extremely good at planning, I mean like excellent master level planning, you're going to buy something in the park at some point, and it's going to be expensive.
And also, I mean, I know when we used to do the whole kind of packed lunch thing, by 11 o'clock in the morning, it's hot to be warm. You've got meat and stuff kind of, and yogurts and whatever you've got in your bag is warming up and getting hotter. Also, your drinks are getting hotter, but also you've got to carry all that stuff around with you, you know, and you're only allowed to take so much. So if you've got sandwiches, you can wrap them up and take them in, and you've got your cookies and you've got some drinks. You know, I always go in, you know, my bag would always be filled up with 3 or 4 bottles of frozen water. That's what I'd always do, would be chuck in the villa or wherever it was, chuck them in the freezer overnight. So they're ice. So then as they are warming up, they're still cold till about lunchtime. By the afternoon, they're still boiling hot, but that would be a way of saving money. And so things like that can help you save. But like, for example, staying off site, you know, if I'm going to Paris now, usually in the winter, they do like they can double your stay because they know it's winter and it's bad weather. They usually do quite good deals for the winter. But staying off site, I mean, just looking at the difference between staying on site, off site, we stayed off site last time. And it was literally 2 more minutes on a different bus because they've got like five, six hotels off-site that are half the price of the Disney ones. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I will stay at the Disney ones again, because those ones, that this other resort, they have like five resorts all on one big bus. The bus was a bit messy. And you could, it was a little bit too far to walk, but it was half the price of staying on site. And it meant that you could go and do Disney a lot cheaper. And there's all these kind of things. If this comes with practice and timing, but I know when I'm going to Asia, I'm on to China, I'm actually planning the exact opposite thing of like, no, I actually want to go and stay in the Disney resorts for a few days when I'm at the parks, because I want the full experience when I do that. Whereas normally I wouldn't normally do that, but it's like, no, I'm only going to be at these sites for 2 days. So I'm going to do two nights in one of the hotels. I don't think it's going to be the most expensive one, but I want that thing of like, no, we're going to go to Disney for 2 days on each of those parks. And the rest of the time we'll be down in the cities doing all the city sightseeing. But it's a very different kind of trip for us, and I want to do something different, because it's that kind of thing of you know, I want to see something else, because I, you know, as much as I love going to Disney parks, sometimes it's nice to go and do other stuff, especially now going, like if we went to LA, you know, we would have 2 weeks in LA, but we'd probably only have 2-3 nights down in Anaheim. The rest of the time we would be sightseeing, because we've got to that point now where Orlando's different. I mean, me and my wife only literally said the other night, you know, next time we go, she wants a week down at Clearwater in another resort. She wants a whole, she wants less time at the parks and more time on the beach, because we've done it and we need to cut it back a bit, because we've done it so much and therefore it's losing, I wouldn't say it's losing the magic, but we don't need to spend as long there because we've done a lot of them. We've done all the rides before.
Right. And there's kind of both a good and a bad to that, because I'm definitely in the same place. I've been to the parks many, many times in the last several years. And there definitely gets to be that sense of like, oh, I've been there, I've done that. I don't need to do these things. I'd rather do some other stuff. Maybe I'll go down and visit the NASA, the Kennedy Space Flight Center. I'll go over to Universal or something like that. But on the other hand, sometimes going to those parks when you're not under the pressure to be like, oh, I have to do every single ride here. I've got to go get in line for that. Or I've got to get in line for that. And I've got to get on my phone and make sure I've got the fast passes on. Being able to just relax at the parks and just be like, oh, you know what? I've done that ride.
You mean a pre 2010 Disney holiday where you just winged it?
Yeah,
and it kind was of fun. You know, the days when you would go to the park and your fast pass was if you were outside of it and the fast pass ticket was there. And then you went, oh, I'll do that. And you didn't plan ahead and know this, you know, like the way that I, as a Disney fan, we know about all this stuff. But there is that part of it. It's just like, just go and enjoy it and wing it and have, you know, when our Disney trips, is never had to worry about all this stuff. It's got worse over the years. And people have, you know, some people look at all Disney. I mean, you know, I mean, we barely made any plans, and I had families have gone, man, that sounds so exhausting. And going, you think my plans are exhausting? You should see some of my Disney friends. They've literally like scheduled their poop stops.
Oh, I know people like that. There's definitely that, you know, down to the minute. I went to Disney with one of them back actually before I was like really into it. It was one of the first times I had been since I was a kid. And, you know, if we were even a couple of minutes off the schedule, like, oh, man, things got crazy. But since then, yeah, being able to go to the parks and just kind of wing it and be, all right, you know what? I don't need to do the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because I've done it. And if I don't have the fast pass for it, it's not worth waiting in line for me.
Yeah, there's always this key thing, is, again, of if you've done it before, if you've not, if it's your first visit. If it's your first visit, I'd always say whatever you've planned to take, you need to double it. However long you think you need to double it, because on maps and stuff, everything looks so much tighter and closer than they actually are, and you haven't planned for it, it can really mess with it. Just like even just getting from outside the resort, you know, maybe not on site, getting in, parking, getting on the bus, to from the car to the train station, to get on the boat to get into the major thing and go through the tickets, it takes time. And if you've not allowed for that, you know, it opens at 9, oh yeah, I'll leave the house at 10 to 9. You're not going to get in there till 10, half 10. You know, things like that, which come into it, but it's all part of the planning. And, you know, it's very easy to overplan. But I found in the past that once I like to get in the park, and if we've got a few fast passes, that's one thing. But I know last time when we went, we really did reduce it was like, some days we weren't even deciding where we were going till the following day. Sometimes we'd book a few fares. We really actually full revert back because we'd done the trip before with way too much scheduling of meals and meal reservations. We had a few, but I would definitely say, like, just enjoy it. Just take, when you're planning, don't overplan it. So just say, I'm going to that park that day. Get a few fast passes. I personally wouldn't even bother with a meal. Have a few per trip, maybe one or two special ones, but wing the rest. Do not overplan a Disney trip because you need freedom. You know, you're sitting down there, oh, I've booked in this meal, and then everyone turns around and goes, I'm stuffed. All I could do with is an ice cream. You've not planned. You don't know how you can't fit in the amount of food that you're planning so much better than we did any other previous. We were really having some really nice meals. We were paid because we saved for over a year and we knew what we were going into of, like, we're not doing any Disney dining plan stuff. We're going to take real money and to go in and enjoy and have some proper meals with knives and forks that are made out of metal because we wanted to enjoy something different than our previous trip. And we'd learned from previous trips of actually, yeah, having some nice meals actually can make that. But if you're trying to do it too much or you can't afford it, you need to be able to flex a bit.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the best advice that I would give to people is you do need to plan. You need to have an idea of the things you want to do. And I would definitely recommend doing an actual sit down proper meal at some point. You don't have to do one of the fancy character ones. They are expensive, though. I do recommend if you can afford it and you can work into your budget, they are a lot of fun, especially for the little kids. They love seeing like Mary Poppins or Winnie the Pooh or whoever. But definitely a sit down meal, even if you've got to go to Disney Springs or whatever to do it. Just you need that normalcy in the trip. And you also should go in with, I want to do XYZ rides, whether I've got, you know, fast pass or not. Be willing to accept that you might not get on them if you don't have the fast pass. You know, some of them you'll look at the line and go, no, that's not worth it. And just accept you're not going to do everything. So focus on the things that you want to do most. Yeah. and try not to get too stressed about it. Yeah. Because the parks are meant to be fun. And if you're just scrambling the entire time running from, I've got to get to the Pirates of the Caribbean, now I've got to get over to the log flume or whatever, you're not going to enjoy it. You're just going to be like, it's going to be a checklist. I did the log flume. I did the Pirates of the Caribbean. No. Go have fun. I know it's not easy because a lot of people, you know, this is a once in a lifetime trip for a lot of people. So you want to get as much done as possible. Focus on the things that you're going to enjoy most, though. That would be the number one advice.
But also the other things, well, I've had someone go and they've done the exact opposite thing of they didn't really plan for it properly and didn't really appreciate it. And they kind of ran around for a few hours and left. And they're like, didn't find anything to do. And you're like, what? Because they didn't do any. They didn't even look at the map. They literally walked around Epcot Lake. And we're like, well, we didn't find anything to do. And we left. And you're like, what? Because they've not done any planning. And therefore you're like, oh, what have you done? You've just wasted. We didn't enjoy it. We didn't like it. And they're like, I'm going, I've never heard anything like it so much. It's like, well, it was a waste. It was wasted on you because you weren't into it. You know, it's that thing of, I know a lot of, and it's not even just them. There's a few people I know that have gone, and especially, I would say, like, maybe older parents and stuff, and maybe even just if you're not a Disney person, maybe you're going because your partner loves it and you don't really like it, and you're just going along with it. And I don't like Mickey Mouse, you know, that. Like we've said before, that the era where you go through where I'm too cool for this, and then you get to being a certain age where suddenly you don't care anymore what anyone thinks. And there is that thing of, you know, if you take a load of 20-year-olds to Disney, they're going to have a very different experience, especially if they are maybe males or something like that just don't like Disney and is too cool for it, and they only want to do the big rides. They're going to have a very different experience than, say, you know, a couple of kids or a couple that enjoy the Disney stuff. I mean, I'll get on, me and my wife, we got onto Dumbo both in separate things, waving at each other. You know, I'm FaceTiming my mum from the Dumbo ride because I'm having a big kid and just having a big laugh of it. And that kind of thing of, I don't care if everyone's laughing. I mean, it's like, whereas if 20 years ago or 10, 15 years ago when I went, when I was with my parents at 20, we wouldn't have been caught dead on Dumbo. You know, different ages do different things. And then when we went with some older friends, they didn't want to do the big rides. They didn't want to, you know, they were a few hours in and they'd had enough and they wanted to go. Who you're with can make such a big impact.
It makes such a difference. Like, I've got some friends who they just want to do roller coasters. And, yeah, you know, Disney, Universal, Six Flags, any of the major theme parks, they just want to go on the roller coasters. They want to get spun around. And most of the time I'll go with them as long as I don't start feeling too nauseous from doing them. And then other friends are like, you know, we're just going to go to Epcot and we're going to go over to the World Showcase and we're just going to go on all the World Showcase rides. Those are the most intense ride there is Frozen when you fall backwards for like 10 feet. And that's as intense as it gets. And that's fine. It's all about managing your own expectations, managing what you want to do. And it's perfectly fine. You're in Disney World. You're supposed to be having fun. And if you want to go ride the Dumbo ride or the Winnie the Pooh Enchanted, I forget, Enchanted something or other. I've only been on it once and I broke it. So, yeah, I didn't actually break it, but it broke down so bad that they actually told everyone they had to get off the ride and we were walked through the back part of the ride. That's the only time I've ridden it. But if you want to do that, go. Nobody cares. The ride operators don't care. They know that just about everyone there is basically a big kid. And the other people, who cares? Why are they worried about what you're doing? You're doing your thing. They're doing their thing. Whatever. I mean, I make a point of going on the Peter Pan ride most of the time. It's not even a good ride. It's just an experience. It's kind of more of a tradition than anything else. I don't mean it's a bad ride. I'm just saying it's not a particularly special ride.
I'm like that with, we have to do the, It's a Small World.
Oh yeah. And it drives my friends nuts because she absolutely hates It's a Small World, but I'm like, we're doing it.
I went once and I had two friends on there and one of them was hungover from the night before and he fell asleep and he woke up halfway through It's a Small World and they literally got off and they were like, what the hell was that? And I was in fits, I was laughing, especially because I'm standing there singing along in the back because I know it's annoying. At this point, it's gone to the point now of just like, yeah, they are so annoyed with me for taking them on this ride. It was like, I'm just like, no, you got to, it's like, just in, you know, and it's that kind of thing, isn't it? You know, when I went around with my mates when we were in our 20s, we had a different, you know, you had a different trip to when you go around, like with my wife, we're on an evening out in Epcot, wandering around the World Showcase, you know, trying food at the Food and Wine, or taking a little 6 and 7 year olds onto all the rides. There is such a different experience depending on who you're with.
And
even when I've just been on my own, you know, when I've gone to the parks on my own, you know, you have a very different, you know, then you are like, oh, you know, you can get past every single family and stuff and just do as many rides as you can. It's like, one? Just one? Yep. And you constantly nipping past. Oh, yeah, I love that bit.
and then the rides that have the single rider entrances, like the test track over at Epcot. It's great. You're just like, all right, the line is 60 minutes long. The single rider line is 10 minutes long. I have literally walked past probably about 100 people and just gotten right into a car on test track in the single rider line.
What really annoys me is when I was getting on Everest and there was about 15 kids of the school group that had all gone on in the single riders. And it's like, no, you're all right. They're all talking and then getting a bit ratty because they have to separate at the end. It's like, you kids have just jumped the queue and you don't get... I pushed past them all in the end and kind of, because they were yapping and they were like, oh, I was slap bang in the middle of them all. And they kind of went, do you want to go in front of us? Like, yes. Annoying little kids. What are you doing in this park?
I normally get weird looks when people are like, you go to the parks alone? I'm like, yeah, I love going to the parks alone. It's fantastic going alone. But, you know,
I think until you do that, it's always, I think, I know when I went the first time, it was a little bit intimidating, but I've, over the years, I've traveled around the globe and done and been all over the place on my own and kind of got used to it. But I can go into the park, just, you know, and go on my own and I wouldn't even think twice about it. And it is that kind of thing, people do talk to you and all the rest of it, but it is. There is so much to do about Disney planning for vacations and stuff. And it's all about what your specific position, what you've got to spend, what time you've got, you know, time, you know, too long, too short. You know, you might go for too long. You might be going for 3 weeks for your first time and it's too much for you because you've overplanned, or you might be going, I really don't like this. I need to go somewhere else. But the big thing is, yeah, I'd always say come down to work out when you can go, work out how much money you've got, how much time have you got, research, and then double it. It's just what I, and that's kind of like the closing thought really for me.
And I'd say something very similar. I think as an adult, you need to be responsible. You need to know what you're getting into. You need to be aware of just how expensive it is. And what you think is going to be the cost, you're wrong. I guarantee you, you're straight up wrong. Even now, I still get it wrong, even though I've been so many times. There will still be times when I'll get back and be like, oh man, how much did I spend? Oof. You know, so be responsible. Understand you're going to spend a lot of money. But at the same time, when you're at the park, you can't worry about it. You know, set a budget for yourself if you have to. And even if you don't have to, set a budget for yourself. We are not spending more than X amount of dollars per day at the park, period. And that's food, souvenirs, everything. And stick to it. But within that budget, do not worry about it. Don't, because you're at the parks, you're there to have fun. So, you know, just to reiterate, be responsible. Don't go into debt. Don't spend money you don't have, all the usual stuff. But when you're in the park, you really can't worry about it because you'll give yourself an aneurysm.
Yeah. So there we go, guys. If you've got any tips or anything, let us know in the comments below on social media. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com for your latest news. And James, where can they find you?
You can find me at heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.